Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by You Can, smarter energy to finish stronger. By VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shops. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we just sent out 3,921 grants totaling $5.9 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Babbittville.com, all your favorite podcast apps. As always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, Sue Reynolds, she was a 335-pound grandmother and turned her life around. Sue, how are you doing?
Hi, Bob. It's so nice to be here, and I'm just doing great.
Wonderful. So, Sue, take me back. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Michigan, just outside of Detroit.
And were you athletic growing up?
No, I wasn't. I'm 66 years old today, and back when I was in school, they didn't have sports for girls. So the boys would go in for PE, the boys would go into the gym to play basketball, and the girls would go into the home ec room and square dance. So there just weren't opportunities for girls to get involved in sports, and I never even knew I liked sports until I was 60.
Isn't that funny? So as a mom and then eventually as a grandmother, so kids are doing sports, but you're not.
No, not at all. And also, because of my size at 335 pounds, it's not impossible to exercise. That was one of the things that I learned, is that obese people can exercise. But it was difficult. And at the time, I thought it was impossible for me to exercise.
So were you always bigger, like as through high school, college, that era?
Yeah, no, in grade school, I was, I always had to kind of watch my weight, but I was not overweight. I really didn't get overweight until I was an adult, and I had a job that I absolutely loved, and I put long hours into it and pulled several all-nighters every week, and to stay awake, I would eat. And in one evening, I could eat, three dozen cookies and a bag of M&Ms as I stayed awake all night to work. And I'd like to think that as the organization that I was working for grew, so did my waistline.
What type of work were you doing?
So I founded a nonprofit that helps schools improve, especially schools with students who don't have as many advantages as their peers. And we bring together community organizations to look at student data and then to figure out what the adults need to do to give the kids opportunities to achieve.
And so those of you during that time, you're early on, as you're establishing this is when you're working all hours of the day and night.
Yeah. It was an organization and a mission that I just love. And when you're doing something you love and you feel like you're making a difference, it's really easy to work long hours.
No question. So when was that tipping point where you realized, I better make a change here?
Yeah, so it was, I never really was worried about how I looked. But what got to me was how many things I could not do because of my size. So I couldn't sit in a restaurant booth. I couldn't get a car seat belt around me. I couldn't even bend over to reach my own feet to put my shoes and socks on. My husband had to put my socks and shoes on for me every morning. And there was just one moment where nothing in particular happened, but I had just had enough. I remember I was at the breakfast table, and I was about to eat a mega-calorie breakfast, and I just put my hands up in front of me and said, enough. And at that moment, I decided to make different choices, and that started the journey.
Wow. And when was that?
That was I started in 2010, but then I lost 60 pounds and then gained it all back because of the way that I lost it. I was counting calories, But what I was doing is I was still eating sweets. I would just eat all my calories for breakfast, and then I wouldn't eat the rest of the day. So gained the weight back, and that was a lesson that I learned, is that if you don't succeed the first time, then you figure out a different approach and you do it again. And so in 2012, I started the journey again, and that time I went to a different plan, nutrition plan, where I ate whole foods. I didn't leave out any food groups, but I ate reasonable sized portions, and that worked for me. That was a program that I was able to sustain, and it took me about a year and a half to lose the weight. And I just kept going.
What's interesting to me is the nutrition part of this, because I think, you know, for me it was a little different. I was doing Ironman and things like that, and I think mentally you can gain, you know, half a pound a year, and after, you know, 15, 20 years, all of a sudden you're going like, oh, wait a second, what happened here? And you think,
right.
When you have a background in athletics, you think, okay, if I go train for a race, I'll lose the weight, it'll go away. And I think there's a certain point where your body, you know, the metabolism changes, and it doesn't matter how much you train. It really comes down to nutrition. So much of it is nutrition. Now, were you following somebody else's plan, or was this something that you were designing on your own?
No, I started, I went to a local small program where I live that started people on exercise and then also taught people how to eat. And they suggested that people eat five times a day, but it was whole foods and limiting size portions. And, you know, just eating five times a day because I had to was really different, but it worked well for me. I was never hungry, and it just, you know, worked great. And then I added exercise to that because I knew that if I exercised, the weight would come off a little more quickly. Had no intention of ever doing any kind of sports events. I just started walking, and the first walk was really a challenge. When you're significantly overweight, like I was 200 pounds overweight, and for people that don't understand what that's like, I tell them to think about a large bag of ice that weighs 20 pounds.
Yeah.
So I was carrying 10 of those on my body as I was trying to walk, and you know, it was really hard. So my first walk was to out the back door. My husband was with me. We went to the first neighbor's driveway and back, and that was maybe 100 yards. But it was the hardest, to this day, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I'm sure my heart was redlining the whole time. But I got home, and I just felt like, I, you know, had won the Boston Marathon. I mean, I had exercised after not exercising for decades, and I was so proud of myself and just so pleased. And yeah, and that was the first time that
wow.
I had exercised for a long, long time.
You know, it's funny. And how long into this did you discover triathlon?
So the first thing that I did was I walked in a 5K.
Mm-hmm.
And at that, I began to understand the culture of the endurance community.
Yep.
And, I mean, I was the last one to go over the finish line. Everybody, they had already cleaned up. They were just waiting for me. But when I came across the finish line and that walking that 5K, everybody stopped what they were doing and clapped. And I just felt, I mean, just made me feel fantastic. And so that my first walking the 5K was probably about 6 months after I had started walking. And then the year after that, I did my first triathlon, and that was an adventure. I really didn't know anything about sports or triathlon. I didn't know anyone who had done a triathlon. I'd never seen a triathlon. I just got this idea in my head I would do a triathlon, and but I loved that thought because it gave purpose to my exercise.
Right.
So yeah, when I was out walking, now I wasn't just walking around the block. I was, you know, I was training.
You're
for
training.
A triathlon, even
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Even though I didn't think I'd ever do one. So that was, I mean, that was just fantastic. And then went to my first try, and I was absolutely terrified. I took my cell phone with me off, of course, but I took it with me so I could call my husband if I couldn't make it. And And I ended up coming in dead last again, but I made it. And, you know, again, people were so helpful. I mean, in transition, I had no idea what I was doing, and people, you know, kind of guided me. But I was clueless. In my first transition, I just sat down, I ate a sandwich, and I brushed my hair.
I love that.
I had not a clue, but I finished, and I came across the finish line and held one finger up because in my mind, I was number one.
That is so cool. And yeah, now, did you have a bike? Did you have to go buy a bike?
I bought a, you know, just an entry level bike, and because I, you know, I had to be able to ride one, and I, you know, I've moved up from that bike, but yeah, I went out and bought my first one.
And was it an open water swim where you had to use a wetsuit or?
It was an open water swim, but I didn't have to use a wetsuit.
Okay.
I was terrified. And what really surprised me was, I don't know why, but I thought that in the lake, it would be just like a pool, and then there would be a line on the bottom, and I'd follow it. And so in the water, I quickly discovered that it was not as scary as I thought it was going to be. There were points where I dog paddled. There were points where I did best breaststroke and popped my head up and looked around, and it went fine. It was not nearly as scary as I thought it was going to be before I got in the water.
That is so cool. And now it's funny because when you think about people think triathlon, they think Ironman, and they think you need to be this uber athlete. And I always tell people that I think our sport is great for it's an equal opportunity abuser. It doesn't care if you're big or small or short or missing body parts, just come out and participate. And for the average person, like the swim, it really doesn't matter if you're dealing with weight issues. On the bike ride, unless you're doing some major climbs, it doesn't matter. It's really the run. But it's one of those things, when you finish the swim and a bike, you've had two positives. And
right.
you're not going to go very fast in the run, but you know that by doing the other two, you can be continuing to lose weight, and the running will get easier.
Yeah. And people will walk the run if it gets difficult. And even going up the hill, you can get off your bike and walk your bike up the hill if the hill's too big. So, my son, when he talked to me about doing my first triathlon, he said, Mom, you're just out for an easy swim, a nice little bike ride, and then a leisurely, you know, jog.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be racing. It's just about finishing. And that's what I love about the triathlon community, is because then everybody encourages everybody, because we all want each other to, you know, to finish. And it's just fun.
So how long into this process, this metamorphosis of you, did you start thinking, you know, I should document this. I should write a book.
Yeah. So in my second season, I started getting serious about triathlon. I was in the middle of a swim, and all of a sudden I found myself racing against another person instead of just racing against me, and discovered I had a competitor inside of me, and, you know, that competitor would take me on to, you know, world championships.
Yes.
and finishing sixth in the world and first American in one of them. But along the way, people started saying, Sue, you should write a book. And I thought that was, I thought, well, who would be interested in reading about me? But enough people said it that I finally sat down and found an agent and at a conference, and just asked her if she thought it would be worth my time to even write a book. You know, would people be interested in reading it? And I was hoping she'd say yes, and then, you know, over the next 10 years or whatever, I'd write a book. But her answer was, yes, I think people would be interested in reading it, and I'd like to offer you a contract right now.
Wow.
So I had a book contract. I didn't have a book. I didn't even know if I could write. But I discovered that I love writing as much as I love triathlon. And I've just really enjoyed telling the story. And, you know, my hope is that by sharing my story, I'm encouraging others to one, to begin their own triathlon journey, but then also to make the transition from being a recreational triathlete to a competitive triathlete.
Well, yeah, so you went to, and what was the, how long was the process of going from 335 to losing 200 pounds?
So that took me about, I guess it was a 3-year process. It took 1 year to lose the first 100 pounds. And then over the next 2 years, I lost 50 pounds each.
And
those years.
as you're losing 100 pounds in that first year, are you just, is your family going crazy, going, oh my God, this is amazing. I imagine they must have just been so incredibly moved by your change.
Yeah. I think they were. My husband likes to tell people that he lost half of his wife.
He did. That is so cool. And so then Sprint Worlds 2016, 18, 19, 70.3 North Carolina, where you finish second and qualify for 70.3 Worlds. All this stuff is so cool, but at the end of the day, it just seems like gravy compared to what just the journey getting to that point to participate.
Yeah, I agree. When I think back over the parts that I'm most proud of, it was really, you know, that first walk to the neighbor's mailbox, just, you know, taking that first step. And then, you know, having enough guts to enter my first endurance triathlon. This whole journey has been about facing fear and, you know, taking a step past that fear and telling my fear to go away and keeping going. I mean, the whole thing's been that way.
What have you discovered about yourself through this? What has surprised you about you?
There's been so many things. I mean, I think the biggest surprise was that I like sports.
Yeah, right? You'd never been involved with sport.
And then in my second season when I was, I mean, there was a specific point in time in a race where I was swimming and my arm came down on top of somebody and, you know, in before triathlon and in on the street in real life, if I hit somebody with my arm, I'd pull back and say, "Oh, excuse me," but I'm swimming in this race and I'm thinking, "Oh, I think I'll just kind of try to get in front of her." And in the process, I shoved her over underwater and swam over the top of her. And I think the thing that really shocked me then was that there was this competitive spirit inside of me that I didn't know was there. And I mean, I love competing and I love racing. And I've always thought of myself as a very gentle person, and discovering that there was this competitive monster inside of me was quite a surprise.
What race was it where you realized, you know what, because I'm sure you go into this going, I'm just happy to get to the finish line. It's just the journey so far. I got a big smile on my face, happy to get to the finish line. When did you realize you could be good at this?
Yeah, that was the same race where I shoved the woman underwater.
There you go.
that was my first nationals, and I qualified. You know, to qualify for nationals and with USA Triathlon, you have to finish, you know, pretty high at that in a local event.
Yep.
And I qualified by finishing first in my age group, but I was the only one in my age group, so it was pretty easy to qualify. But yeah, at that race, I discovered my competitiveness, and then I finished in the middle of the pack, and I thought, oh my gosh, if I could be in the middle of the pack without really committing to triathlon, what would happen if I really, really committed? Like, no excuses, whatever it takes, find a way, no missed workouts. Paid attention to nutrition and recovery and, you know, just every little, you know, dotted every I and crossed every T. How far could I go? And so for the next year, I just decided to work really, really hard. And my secret goal that I didn't even tell, I had a coach by then, and I didn't even tell my coach, but my secret goal was to be an alternate for Team USA. I didn't think I could actually ever make the team. But I thought maybe if I worked really hard, I could be an alternate, and I thought it might take about 3 years to do that. So we worked really, really hard for that season coming into the season in 2015, and I thought it would take 3 years to be an alternate, and in 1 year we qualified for the team.
That's so cool.
So I learned, you know, that I didn't maybe have a little knack for this. And so it was kind of, you know, I love sports and I had a little knack for it. And yeah, it's been just a joyous journey.
And the book is called The Athlete Inside, The Transforming Power of Hope, Tenacity, and Faith.
Correct.
And all proceeds are going to USA Triathlon Foundation, which is awesome.
Correct.
And when will the book come out?
So the book is coming out April 28th. It's available before then for pre-order from Amazon and Barnes & Noble or IndieBound. But yeah, April 28th, and I'm just so excited about it. I can hardly stand it. I can't wait to see people begin to read it.
So how proud are your kids and your husband of this, the journey and the woman you've become?
I think they're proud. I think they were proud of me before I started triathlon because of who I am on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're very proud of the tenacity and just, you know, what we've been able to do with this journey and helping others. I think they're very, very proud of that. I have to tell you, though, my granddaughter, I was so tickled. I have four grandchildren. My oldest is a granddaughter who's seven.
Yeah.
And last week we were talking, and she said, "Grandma, I'm going to do a triathlon." And I just loved it. It was very, very cool.
That is so cool. You know, the cool thing is the fact that she's seven, and there isn't a sport they can't do. Right? Kids.
Correct.
You didn't have that as a kid.
Absolutely.
Right? And if you did, you might not have been 335 pounds. If sport had been something that had been available to you early on, who knows?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think about that often. Like if there had been sports when I was younger and I, you know, my whole life might have been different.
Right. So. You'd be a professional triathlete.
There you go.
I love it. Again, the book is The Athlete Inside, The Transforming Power of Hope, Tenacity, and Faith. All proceeds go to USA Triathlon Foundation, coming out April 28th. Sue, thank you so much for taking time. I'm very excited to see the final product here.
Thank you very, very much. And thank you for all that you've done for triathlon. I know that triathlon would not be where it is today without all of the influence that you've had.
Oh, thank you, Sue. That's very kind of you. Sue Reynolds, again, has been our guest. We are brought to you by UCAN, smarter energy to finish stronger, by VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shops, by our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We just sent out 3,921 grants, totaling $5.9 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Babbittville.com, all your favorite podcast apps. Until next time, endurance lives here.